John 6:35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the wonderful book of First John 1:5. It's on the back of your bulletin. 1 John 3:5. Dennis, where are you? Was that Dennis or someone else? It's 1 John 3:5. Dennis always puts these verses from the German translation, and you'll notice the German translation of the scriptures we used earlier today, Isaiah 53:3-5, and then 1 John 3:5 is there on the back of your bulletin. Okay? 1 John 3:5. And the subject is the sinless, impeccable Son of God. We're going to pray together before we begin our study. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity again to turn our attention away from any distraction of life and focus our minds back upon these magnificent, wonderful words of God. We realize that we are the privileged individuals because we have this magnificent, completed canon of Scripture. We're thankful for the Bible. We're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that you've given us life and that you take care of us from day to day. We thank you for our logistical provisions of life. And we thank you most of all for the spiritual blessings of life. Bless us, we pray, in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll notice, please, the translation from the German, 1 John 3:5, and you know that he's been revealed that he may take away the sins, and sin is not in him. Another translation goes like this, and I'm turning to it, and I'm realizing that I have it marked in a different place here. 1 John 3:5. Let me see if I can go to the right passage of Scripture. And you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. The sinless, impeccable Son of God. On the screen you now see, in him is not sin, 1 John 3:5. He had no sin. Jesus Christ had no old sinful nature, no imputation of sin. Jesus Christ was faultless, pure, spotless. Though greatly tempted, he never committed sin. The scriptures reveal three aspects of sin. We're going to spend a few moments now looking at these three aspects of sin. First of all, you will notice that Jesus Christ had no imputed sin. And we all understand that the word impute means to put in, and Jesus Christ was not the recipient of any charging of sin. No imputed sin. The judicial charging of the human race with Adam's sin of disobedience. Romans 5:12. By one man sin entered into the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Imputed sin. Romans 5:12-14. The second one that is mentioned here is inherited sin. You'll notice that the emphasis here is that Jesus Christ is not the recipient of inherited sin. And also, he did not inherit the old sin nature through his parents by physical birth. Jesus Christ was born virgin conceived, virgin conception, virgin born. So Jesus Christ did not have a sinful nature. The old sin nature is passed down, as we all know, from the father to the child rather than from the mother to the child. And Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ did not have any inherited sin. So we see that Jesus Christ had no imputed sin. Jesus Christ had no inherited sin. He did not inherit the old sin nature through parents by physical birth. Psalm 51:5, Ephesians 2:3, Genesis 5:3. And then number three is he had no individual sins. And this emphasizes the fact that Jesus Christ had no personal acts of sin stemming from the old sin nature, because he didn't have a no sin nature. We're emphasizing, as you can see by this title, the sinless, impeccable Son of God. Jesus Christ was sinless, impeccable. He had no sin nature, no imputation of sin. He was faultless, pure, spotless. Though greatly tempted, never had he committed an act of sin. As the scripture reveals then, those three aspects of sin, imputed sin, and the emphasis on judicial sin, imputed sin, inherited sin, and personal sin. We'll go on now and take a look at, just to see if we can emphasize the fact that Christ was tempted in his humanity, but not in his deity. And I'm going to try to keep this on the overhead projector properly. Christ was tempted in his humanity, but not in his deity. Hebrews 4:15, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Most of us are aware of the fact that when Jesus Christ came on the scene, he came on the scene as the God-man, totally God, totally man. He had all the characteristics of deity. He had all the characteristics of mankind. So we discover then that Jesus Christ was tempted in his humanity, but not in his deity. Number three, as with Adam in innocence and Christ in hypostatic union, all temptation came from without. There was no old sin nature. So we discover that Jesus Christ had no sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And number three again, as with Adam in innocence and Christ in hypostatic union, all temptation came from without. There was no old sin nature in Adam. Adam was created without inheriting the old sin nature through parents. The Lord Jesus Christ did not have a sinful nature. We've emphasized that over and over and over again. I want to spend a few moments now in just giving you the emphasis on the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. I said at the beginning of the session that many people are aware of these last statements, and some are not, but I want to give them to you if you want to write them down. The first one is Luke 23:34. Luke 23:34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." So that's an emphasis, one of the seven last sayings of Jesus Christ on the cross. Luke 23:34, if you want to pin that one so you can have it. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The second one is listed here for you to see, Luke 23:43. "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the second last statement of Jesus Christ on the cross, Luke 23:43. Truly I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. The third statement, the last statement of Jesus on the cross, one of seven, is in John 19:26-27, where Jesus said to woman, behold your son, and son, behold your mother. So that's number three. We'll go back in a few moments and repeat all of these, but this is John 19:26-27. Number four is found in Matthew 27:46 and in Mark 15:34, where Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 27:46, Mark 15:34. Number five statement is found in John 19:28, where Jesus said, I thirst. Number five. Number six is found in John 19:30, where Jesus Christ said, it is finished. From the Greek, tetelestai, which also is translated, it is accomplished. We'll come back, talk about that in a few moments. Number six, John 6:19-30. Number seven is found in Luke 23:46, where Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So I trust that you have all of these, and I'll go back now and list them again for you. The first one is Luke 23:34. Second one is Luke 23:43. Third one is John 19:26. The fourth one is Matthew 27:46. The fifth one is John 19:28. Six is John 19:30. Number seven is Luke 23:46. I'll go back and let you see these again because I don't want anyone to miss them. The last words of Jesus on the cross. Number one, Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Number two, Luke 23:43. Jesus said, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's Luke 23:43. Last sayings of Jesus, number three, is found in John 19:26-27, where Jesus said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And that's John 19:26-27. That's number three. Number four is found in Matthew 27:46 and Mark 15:34, where Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is Matthew 27:46, Mark 15:34, number four, my God, why have you forsaken me? The fifth saying on the cross is found in John 19:28, where Jesus said, I thirst. John 19:28. The sixth statement is found in John 19:30, where Jesus said, it is finished. From the Greek, tetelestai, which is also translated, it is accomplished. That's number six. Number seven is found in Luke 23:46. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It has been traditionally referred to as the seven sayings found in this fashion. Forgiveness, number one. Salvation, number two. Relationship, number three. Abandonment, number four. Distress, number five. Triumph, number six. Reunion, number seven. Now, I did not give you this at first, so I'll spend a little time, let you look at that again. Traditionally, these seven sayings are called words of, number one, forgiveness. Words of salvation. Words of relationship. Words of abandonment. Words of distress. Words of triumph. And words of reunion. I find it very interesting that these are unique words. I have, for instance, an emphasis on the worst word, tetelestai. And that word is a beautiful word. We'll discuss it later. But it emphasizes, in the perfect tense verb, it emphasizes that which has been accomplished in the past. And the results of that accomplishment continues on to this very present moment. The plan of God has been accomplished. The plan of God has been accomplished in the past. The result of that accomplishment continues to this present moment and will, perfect tense, continue on and on and on. That is the Greek word tetelestai, and we'll discuss that more in detail later. Just for review, let me go back for just a few moments. Last words of Jesus. In case you don't have it, Luke 23:34, number one. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Number two, Luke 23:43. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. I would enjoy getting into the subject of paradise there and emphasizing when paradise was emptied and so forth, but let's go on. Number three, last words of Jesus, number three, John 19:26-27. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. That's number three. Number four is Matthew 27:46 and Mark 15:34, where Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Notice what it doesn't say there. It doesn't say, my God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? It doesn't say, my God, why have you forsaken me? You'll notice it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Be interesting to ask you the question, why do we have two, my God, not three or not one? I think you know the answer to that. Number five is I thirst, John 19:28. John 19:28, I thirst. The sixth statement of Jesus dying on the cross is John 19:30, where he said, it is finished. And then number seven, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Traditionally, these seven sayings are words of, one, forgiveness, two, salvation, three, relationship, four, abandonment, five, distress, and, six, triumph, and seven, reunion. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today to open our hearts and minds to your word. Help us to understand how important it is for us to be diligent students of your word every single day of our lives. We realize that we'll not be able to see things from a vertical divine viewpoint if we do not find ourselves captivated with Jesus Christ and saturated with his word. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for your blessings. We pray for those who hear the message today, especially those who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ, that they will realize the importance of doing just that, knowing that the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It doesn't say hope so or maybe so. It says you shall be saved. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.